Welcome back to Jordan Rich Show, Jazz in the Night. And that is something we wanted to focus on for the next several minutes with a young man named John Rainey. And John's dad, Jimmy Rainey, is gone now, but he was one of the greatest guitarists in the jazz world, and we'll talk about him. And tonight, John is joined by his trio, and they'll be doing a very loving tribute to Jimmy at the Lily Pad in Inman Square from 5 to 7 p.m. John joins us. Hi there, John.
Hey, Jordan. How are you?
Thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. And there are a lot of music lovers up at this time of night. And I know that you're in town for this nice event tomorrow, or actually tonight, as it were. And before we get started, I wanted to, and we're going to play some of your stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're a very fine pianist. This is a family business, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to avoid, right? When you have an example like that, it's really compelling.
Your brother too is also a player, I understand.
That's correct, and he's a highly respected guitarist. Played with Chet Baker, very well known albums with him.
Well, your dad, and I got to tell you, I did more research than I knew of his name, and I knew of some of his work, but I really dug into it. And I know you're going to be doing a nice tribute tonight, but your dad is considered in the jazz world as one of the best that ever picked up a guitar. And maybe you can talk a little bit about where it all started. I know he's from Kentucky originally, right?
Yeah, that's right. He's from Louisville, Kentucky. And he started about when he was about 10 years old. And he was a professional by the time he was, I want to say, about 13 or 14. And and he was a quick learn, he really took to that, and then he studied locally with a guitarist that showed him his first jazz licks, or hot licks he called them in those days. And he heard Charlie Christian and nearly fainted. That was just totally blew his mind.
Well, was he self-taught at the beginning? Was he taking lessons from somebody at a young age, or what?
Yeah, he did take lessons, yeah. He took formal lessons from somebody. But eventually he got to a point where he took formal lessons and was able to understand, the jazz concepts, finally. So once his teacher turned him on to Charlie Christian, and the rest is history, pretty much.
I'm looking at his list of recordings that go all the way back to the early 50s, 54, 55, all the way up to about 1990. And then, of course,
he's been on 180 recordings, technically, as a studio musician. So that's, yeah.
And we're talking with John, the son of the late Jimmy Rainey, and his colleagues, the people he played with, reads like a who's who in terms of, obviously Stan Getz, Red Norvo, Lalo Schifrin, I see here.
Lalo Schifrin, the film guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, that's an odd thing, but Lalo played jazz. Has quite a few jazz albums to his credit.
It makes
a lot
sense.
Of 60s albums with him.
Yeah. And what are you going to be doing at the Lily Pad in terms of a presentation? I know it's your trio and that you play piano. I imagine you have a guitarist in the trio.
No, it's actually maybe that's the challenge. It's just a trio, but I'm bringing together my father's tunes, some of my brother's tunes, and my tunes all together, and also some standards that are well known associated with them.
So that's interesting. No actual guitar, but we'll hear some of the tunes that your father was famous for.
Yeah, exactly. Like the tune that you just played, it's called Signal from 1953. I actually worked on that a bit, to try to arrange it, because my father has a really contrapuntal kind of style. That's something that was sort of the innovation with that Stan Getz group, where the guitar was doing counterlines and things like that. So I have to sort of bring that sensibility into the trio arrangement.
Mm. John, I was looking at some YouTube videos of your dad performing.
He's an amazing man.
What's amazing about him is how he looks as though he could be doing a crossword puzzle while he's doing it. In other words, he looks so relaxed and so matter-of-fact, and he's into it, obviously, but his style is just so laid back, and yet his fingers are moving a mile a minute.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mentioned that in that blog. There's something universally appealing about someone who's so nonchalant about something so hard to do.
And people who don't well, they don't frequent the jazz clubs, or they don't buy the records, or they don't really have an appreciation for it. And there's nothing wrong with those people, but they're in for a little education here. Forget that there is such precision as well as ad-lib ability. It's a weird thing. You know, musicians study, but then they get into this world of Stan Getz and your dad, and these guys are on another planet. I mean, they just do what they do. It's like floating.
It was a wonderful period for jazz in the 50s. The 50s and the 60s, it's really unique, you know, and people keep coming back to it. It's just a watering hole for them.
Was it a bebop thing? Was there much of that when he
I want to say it's like maybe a post-bebop thing, like the period directly after bebop. Bebop was a little bit, well, not the
late 40s, early 50s.
Yeah, it was a little more angular. You know, things, they started taking it slightly more modern chords and things like that.
In terms of other guitarists, I always love to ask this question. Was your dad a pal with any of the guys who would also be considered top flight, or did he hang around with drummers?
Well, they actually looked to him. Jim Hall, for example.
Yep.
You know, Jim Hall came after Dad, and Tal Farlow was a peer, of course. And he actually lived in the same building as Tal Farlow, and also Sal Salvador, and some other people. Names escape me at the moment, but. So he knew all those guys, and they knew him, you know, Joe Puma, all the guys that were doing studio, Tony Mottola, all these guys, yeah. Barry Galbraith. My brother studied with Barry.
And we're talking with John Rainey, whose dad was the late Jimmy Rainey, and there's a tribute to him tonight. It's called the Lily Pad. It's in Inman Square, 1353 Cambridge Street in Cambridge. It starts at 5. Tickets just $10. And it's going to be a great show. We're going to play some of John's trio music in a few minutes going into the break and coming out of the break. The musicians and critics alike generally herald your father's, if not the best, one of the top guitarists post-World War II in this vein.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious what kind of instrument he played. Did he have one solid guitar that he really played most often? Did he have a particular brand that he was famous for?
Well, his sound in those days was the Gibson, the Charlie Christian model, same type of guitar that Charlie was using, and a lot of the guitar players during that period, like Rene Thomas, they all tried to get that same sound that came from Charlie and then progressed to my father. So there's some people that, you know, just copied him note for note. I'm like, for example, Rene Thomas, you know. You know, he just adored my father's playing, and so it was the Gibson. So he was known for the it's a Gibson 125,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he played that through the 60s, and then he kind of had a bit of a layoff, and then when he came back in the 70s, he kind of played whatever was available. He could make anything sound like him, you know, which is a mark of a great artist, of course.
Did he ever just at home fool around acoustically as well? Did he just pick up a guitar and just knock something out, or was he pretty much known for that more electric sound?
Oh, sure. He played he played acoustically, you know, like I spent some time with him several months, and he usually actually didn't have the amp on when he was practicing, partly because of his hearing disorder.
Yeah, I want to talk about that with you in a minute, because that's an amazing sidebar to this brilliant musician, and there's a sense of Beethoven in the 20th century. We'll explain what I'm talking about. We're talking here with John, spelled J-O-N, Rainey, R-A-N-E-Y. And by the way, we're going to send people to your web page, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because there's so much good stuff. You're a great blogger. You write a lot about music and about people. It's johnrainey.com, with, again, J-O-N, and you'll find all kinds of cool stuff about his dad and about him and about all the things he's doing. And why don't we do this? Joshy, you got something queued up from John's CD? John's got a great CD as well, and I want to play some really quality jazz. This is from Waltz for Talia. Stand by, John. We'll come right back to you and continue. Okay, man? All right. It's WBZ. Let's hit a little bit of this music from John Rainey. Anytime there, Joshy. And we'll come back following this on the Jordan Rich Show. Dear friends, you're hearing some selections from Waltz for Talia, which is all written by John Rainey and his trio, John Rainey Trio, and this is called Elegy for Dad. I assume the dad we're talking about is your dad, Jimmy Rainey, the great guitarist. And I love the CD, by the way, John. Thanks for sending it to me.
I'm glad you enjoy it, Jordan.
Very, very nice.
Just to mention that, of course, Talia is actually my daughter, and she's part of my inspiration for coming to Boston and do the gig at this time. She's graduating from Boston University on Sunday.
Oh, wonderful.
So David Rumpler, whom you've had...
I know David, yep.
He's actually producing the show for me, and he's actually going to be at the Lily Pad himself on June 6th. He's really a multi-talented guy. I wish I could do as much as he does. You know, he's a triple threat, or maybe a quadruple threat. I just play the piano, you know.
David's great, and thank him for setting this up tonight with you. I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And again, tonight, from 5 to 7 p.m., you'll see and hear this wonderful trio with John and his guys, and it'll be basically an opportunity to salute his dad with some great music at the Lily Pad in Cambridge, Inman Square, and you can go to the door and get some tickets. Should be a lot of fun. I wanted to talk to you about what happened to your father. He suffered for years, and I don't want to mispronounce it, so you tell me what the name of this disease is, please.
Well, I don't speak French, but I'm assuming it's Meniere's disease.
Okay.
It's an hearing disorder. It's a fluid balance in the ear where there's an excess of fluid, and some people it causes balance issues, other people it causes hearing distortion, and that was actually the case in my father. It either produced total deafness, or even worse for a musician, it actually could transpose things, like up a half step. Mm-hmm. So he literally had to just plug something in his ears so he didn't hear that. So.
And he kept playing despite that.
He was that good.
Wow. I mean, that's why I alluded to Beethoven, and we all know he was deaf and blind at one point. But, wow. So because of that, did that curtail him at any point, or did he just deal with it as it went along? Because he had it for years.
Well, it started to surface, I want to say, maybe in the late 60s, and then it just gradually progressed. Sometimes he'd have a reprieve from it, like at different points. Like, for example, he was suffering really badly from it in the late 80s. And then when he did that record, his last record for Crisscross, But Beautiful. Mm-hmm. He actually was problem free for that record. That was in 1990, but then it came back. So
interesting. Yeah. And yet the music continued, and he passed away in 1995. I think if
right.
I read that correctly.
He had a stroke in 1993, like at the end of the year. So he was actually in a state from 93 to 95, so that was pretty terrible.
We're talking about Jimmy Rainey, the famous, well, fabulous guitarist, and now more famous because we're talking about him here. If you're not familiar, look him up and check out John's website, JonRaney.com, because he writes a lot about his dad and the impact. So tell me a little bit about growing up in a family like this. And obviously, music is a tough business. Your father was on the road a lot. And what did that mean for you as a kid, just as a father-son relationship?
Well, you know, to be honest, you know, my father's example was more remote to me because my parents didn't stay together in the mid-60s. So I almost, like, found out more about him through his records and the things he left behind. And then later in life, you know, to be honest, he struggled with alcoholism. So that was an issue that he struggled with. And he conquered at different points. You know, he was, you know, he struggled with it. But in terms of growing up with that, he's just it's kind of like I tell people, you know, a lot of people think their dad is the greatest, but mine just happens to be.
Exactly. In the circles that we're talking about, in the pantheon of players of this era, I mean, the respect he gets from people in the business, I think that's probably the coolest thing. It's one thing to get fan respect, which he's gotten over the years, but the fact that I was reading so many plaudits from people, critics and fellow musicians, I mean, that must mean a lot to you.
Well, he was a philosopher, he was a painter, he wrote, he scored. I mean, he wrote something called String Quintet for Strings, and it's on a Strings and Swings album where he wrote something that was like Bartok, and then he played along with it, so... that's just something else. I mean, you don't see this from jazz musicians. It's very uncommon.
And he did record, I believe, with your brother, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Did you ever have a chance to actually record with your father, even?
No, unfortunately not. Like, I did play with him, sort of when I was cutting my teeth. You know, like, let's say I got somewhat of a later start. I started around 16. And so when I was finally, you know, ready to play with him, he was kind of on the tail end of his career. So I went to Louisville and Woodshed and, you know, learned how to play. And I was still learning how to play when I got the opportunity to play with him. And so I didn't get the opportunity to record with him. But, you know, if he had lived maybe a few more years, I'm sure I would have.
I'm not close personal friends with this guy, but I've had John Pizzarelli on the show many times. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he's got his father, Bucky Pizzarelli, and they're terrific guys. And
I've met them. I spoke to them
brother.
After this.
But I'm always amazed at families in music, particularly in jazz, and there aren't a whole bunch of them that you can point to, but yours is certainly, I mean, it's you, your brother, and your dad. Wow. Anybody else in the family involved with music?
Nope. It kind of, my daughter has a really good ear. In fact, she might even have perfect pitch. The way she complains that certain MP3 streaming services transpose the tunes, and I'll be darned if I can hear that.
Yeah, so,
she's interested in neuroscience, so the music legacy so far is kind of stopped there, but we'll see about the future.
Well, I love your playing, and I also love the fact that you're so reverential and reminding us about the talent your dad had and what he brought to the world. Again, the name Jimmy Rainey may not be household for some non-jazz fans, but I think the stuff that you're doing in tonight's concert at 5 p.m., 5 to 7, will be at the Lily Pad in Cambridge, will be a great, great opportunity for people to check you out and what the Rainey family is all about. So, John, thank you, man, for
for
staying up a little late, and it's nothing new for a jazz player, but we'll wish you the best and your daughter on her graduation, and again, the Rainey sound is alive and well here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jordan.
All right, take care. John Rainey, catch him tonight with his trio at the Lily Pad, which is at 1353 Cambridge Street, Inman Square, Cambridge. And you can go to the door at 5 p.m., $10 a ticket, what a take. And we'll be back with another fascinating duo, Antonovich and Katz. They'll be at Scullers this week, and where do you check these dudes out? We'll be right back.